Well, just by way of reminder, we have been in this series for about 8 weeks now called Here I Am, with the tagline, listening, available, and ready to go. And each week we've looked at a different story from Scripture of people that God has encountered, and in some way or another, they have responded, here I am. How do you want to use me, Lord? And we've seen many of those weeks, the thing that the Lord wanted them to do was challenging or perhaps a little bit scary, but in each case, God went with them. God empowered them to do whatever it was that he was asking them to do. Today, I mentioned this at the beginning of the service, we're flipping things around a little bit, and probably I should have started the series with this, but hindsight is 20/20. We're going to end the series with this, that before we can ever get to the point of saying, here I am, Lord, use me, send me, we first have to encounter God. That's the one that we're listening to. That's the one that we're obeying. That's the one that we're trusting. That's the one that we're serving, that we're partnering with. And there's this great line in today's text that says, here is your God. So today, that's what I want to focus on, is to remind you, this is God. This is the one for whom and with whom we gather as a church. This is the one whom we serve when we go out. This is the one to whom we ever can come up with the words, here I am, use me. So that's my goal today. I want to look at this passage from Isaiah 40, and it ends with this declaration of here is God, and then this invitation to us. How will you respond to that? Just by way of prologue or introduction, we were in Isaiah last week. We're again there this week, and I want to remind you what was going on in Isaiah 6. That was that great vision of the Lord, where Isaiah saw a temple scene, and God was there, and there was smoke, and there was a great robe that filled the temple, and there were these creatures like angels, seraphim, circling the throne and singing, holy, holy, holy. And it was so overwhelming to Isaiah that he just fell down and said, woe is me, I'm undone. I am ruined by this encounter with the holy God, as if to say, I so realize my sinfulness, my humanness, that I'm just completely undone. I might as well die. But in that vision, the Lord came to him, and with a hot coal in the vision, a hot coal from the altar, he touched his lips, and that was what he had confessed, was his the impurity of his words and what came out of his lips. The Lord, in the vision, touched his lips and declared him clean. I've purified you, Isaiah. Your sin is no more. And in response to that, Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, use me, send me. And I kind of quickly moved past this last week because it was a whole different topic. But the thing that the Lord sent Isaiah to do was to go preach, prophesy to the people of Israel. And God told Isaiah, in effect, they're not going to listen to you. Go speak, go carry my message, but they're not going to listen. They are in a stage of kind of advanced disobedience, and I'm just kind of letting them go for a while. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to respond. They may say they're looking for me, but they're blind. Their ears are closed. Their hearts are closed. They will not receive the news I have for them. So again, a mission that is a little bit more than daunting, or perhaps not enjoyable, to go preach to people who are definitely going to tune you out. So just know I appreciate that you are paying any sort of attention this morning. It may be like the whole room turning around backwards and just, you know, pulling out your phones or something. So that was Isaiah's mission in Isaiah 6. Today in Isaiah 40, a lot has transpired, and we find the people in a different place, and God's attitude towards them is very different. And it begins with these words of comfort. So in verse 1, that verse that Clay began the service with and that Melissa talked about in the children's message, God speak through Isaiah these words, comfort, comfort to you, my people. And to that says your God. Once again, God is saying, I claim you, you're my people. He's going to forgive them and comfort them. They have been in exile. They have been enduring kind of collective timeout and punishment. You know, things we do to discipline our children sometimes. We put them in timeout or put them in punishment. Let them contemplate whatever they have done wrong. God is now saying through Isaiah, the time is over. Remember that I love you. Remember, I am your God. And it reminds me of conversations when the kids were little. Remember, I love you, right? You can come out of your room. Give me a hug. I love you. You're mine. That stage of bearing the consequence of their disobedience is over. So through Isaiah, God offers comfort to them. And in that, look at the words of this, the message to them. It's a lot like what Isaiah himself experienced. He says, speak kindly now to my people, to Jerusalem. Call out to them, your warfare, and this is warfare against God, it's over. There's peace between us. And your iniquity has been removed. That's the same word from Isaiah 6 when God touched the lips of Isaiah. He said, your iniquity, the iniquity of your lips has been removed. God is showing mercy and forgiveness and saying, we're restored, you and me. He's made peace. And that's good news. And from that declaration of peace, of reconciliation, God moves in his message to one of preparation. That is, get ready. So in verse 5, you have this passage that is quoted again in the New Testament to some degree. Clear the way for the Lord. This is still to the people, now restored. Get ready. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground be leveled, the rugged terrain, a broad valley or expanse. This is literally what kings and rulers did in that time. If they were coming to greet a city or you know, they come with the whole entourage. And part of that was literally kind of building a highway into a city in a very, you know, mountainous, hilly country. They would level it out and make kind of a king's highway deal. And the message in all of this, God is saying, your king is returning, right? And this all ties back into what they think they've lost, what they in reality had lost for a while. These are the children of Abraham to whom God promised land and descendants and blessing. And as a result of their disobedience and the exile, they lost the land. They lost Jerusalem. They lost the kingship, the ruling of their own country. And they felt like they're in exile. They had lost God's blessing. And now God is telling them through Isaiah, get ready. I'm going to restore. I'm going to keep my promise. Even though you kind of blew it and threw it all away, I'm about to restore what you've lost. I'm bringing you back to your land. Your king is coming back to rule among you. And once again, you will be blessed. You will experience my blessing. And then, this last part I put in yellow, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. That's going to set up kind of the main point for today, which is really all this story is not about Israel, not about their faithlessness, but it's about God and God's faithfulness, right? And that's the glory, is that when these people experience God's story and God's mercy and God's restoration, when people like us read about it years later, our thought is to be, isn't God amazing? That's the glory. Isn't God amazing? Because if he would do this with a whole people that were disobedient, disrespectful, and had turned away from him, it just might be that he would be that way towards me when I am disrespectful, disobedient, when I've turned away again and again in sin. Perhaps this same God would declare comfort, declare peace, declare mercy toward me. Well, so then in verse 6, we move to the kind of the message. And Isaiah says, what shall I say? What shall I call out? Like, what shall I announce to your people now that things have changed and into a new direction? And it's going to get to, here is your God. But on the way to that, the message takes a very interesting path. And this is, to me, a well-known passage because I've been in at least 3 different churches where right before the sermon, the pastor, you know, I have certain things I say in my prayer right before the sermon. I've been in several churches over my life where right before the sermon, the pastor would quote this and say, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. And then preach, right? Just to remind us that this is the thing that lasts, right? It's a great intro to a sermon. Well, it's in the middle of this message that God is giving back to his people. And I think it's the flow of it is something like this. What shall I tell your people, God? And God says, remind them that it's not about them, right? Their lives are short And it's like the grass, right, just lasts a moment and then withers and fades. It's like the flower, beautiful for a moment and then fades. But God, the one who is Lord Almighty, God and his word and his promise, that's what lasts forever. That's the foundation of life and his existence itself. That's what I want you to remind them. So remind them of who they are on the way to holding up before them, this is God. God is eternal. God is sure. God is firm. You can count on God's word. And that's the message he's just been through, right? You lost it all. You blew it all and were taken to exile. But God is saying, come home. Come home. I forgive you. I speak peace. I speak comfort to you. I am your God. And I love you and I forgive you. So this message about the grass and the flowers and all this, it's to say, take a look at your God and do it through the lens of recognizing just who you are. And then, behold, here is your God. So God is both king, the one that you're going to level all the, you know, make a new road for his arrival. But he's also the shepherd, the one who tends for his flocks. And you know, we've talked about all those things a shepherd does, is keeps safe and protects and guides and leads. And you can go read the 23rd Psalm and be reminded of all that. But all of that, if I had to kind of lump that into just one sentence, is to say this reminds us that the story is God's story. And again, I wish I had kind of started the series with this, but it's not too late. I'm getting it today. As compelling as it is to think about, well, how will I offer myself to God? What is it God wants me to do? How do I say, here I am? Before we can do that, and maybe you've been held up on knowing how to do that because we haven't gotten to the thing that precedes it. The thing that precedes that is, have you encountered God? God is here. We believe that. God speaks to us. We believe that. Have you encountered God? And it's only then that you can listen and be available and be ready to go. So with that, I thought of Revelation 3:20. We read this as part of our confirmation retreat a few weekends ago. And in this case, this is Jesus speaking, also in a vision, to the disciple, the apostle John, who was young as a disciple when he followed Jesus around and wrote the Gospel of John. He's now an old man, we think in his 90s perhaps, and he's received this vision from God that is the book of Revelation. And Revelation begins with these messages from Jesus to the early church. And in one of those letters is this scene, this invitation. It's the picture of Jesus standing at the door, and you're in the house, you have a dinner set, and Jesus stands at the door and knocks. It goes on to say, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. I thought of this because that's the message in Isaiah 40. It's really the message in the whole Bible. It starts with God saying, here I am. Here I am. Right? This is your God. We've got to see that, experience that, encounter that, accept that, hear the knock before any of the rest happens. So this was so to the point. I thought, yeah, this is a great image, right? So God is God. And he knocks. He announces himself. Do we open the door or do we turn the other way? Maybe every time I've heard this verse, it's used at some sort of evangelistic rally, crusade, altar call, one of those things, right? Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Will you let him in? And I don't think that's a misplaced way to apply that. But it's in the middle of a letter to the whole church. Right, it's in the middle of a letter to God's people, to a group. And I thought, this is it. This is exactly the message of this series. It's the message of Isaiah 40, the message of Scripture, that God is here. That's why we have gathered for this dinner party, right? And if we miss the knock at the door and we're busy about the communion and the music and the service and we're going to go out and help the poor and do good things, but we miss God, we missed it all. So again, before we can say, here I am, listen, be available, be ready to go, be used, we have to encounter the God who is before all of that. And through Jesus in the vision, he says, I'm here. You've gathered in my name. I am here. Are you listening? Will you invite me in? And it's exactly at that point that it makes all the sense in the world to say, I'm listening. I'm available. I'm ready to go. So I want to end with, to try to sum up kind of the whole series, both today and all that we've talked about in the last 8 weeks. This is the right order for us individually, but especially as a church, to move forward. It's to begin with the announcement and the faith acknowledgement, God is here. I said that at the beginning of the service, right? We believe God is here. We believe God is speaking through his word. We believe his Holy Spirit meets us and is stirring us up and opening our ears and convicting us and compelling us. God is here. And the question to ask then is, what is God doing here? What does God want? What is God doing in our part of the world and through this church? What is God doing? That's the discernment piece, the listening, right? And then here we are, listening, available, ready to go. We are going to move to a new series starting next week, but this question is not going to go away. This is leading the elders and staff of the church. I believe it's leading our congregation as we continue to acknowledge God is here. This is God's church, right? God is in the middle of what we're doing here, and we keep asking, and what is God doing, and how can we be a part of that? And I hope you continue to join me in doing that. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are here and you are holy, holy, holy. You are our Lord God, the Almighty. We believe and we acknowledge that you are not only here, but that you speak to us and that you move in the world today. And you move in our lives and in our neighborhood and in and around this church. Help us to hear and to see. Unlike your people in Isaiah 6, help us to see and to understand. Help us to listen and to perceive what you're doing so that we may in obedience say, here I am, ready to go. Lord, use us. And Lord, would you show each of us what that looks like, both individually, at home, at work, at school, in relationships, in our coming and our going, and collectively as a church, would you show us what that looks like, that we might say yes and join in and see for ourselves your glory and demonstrate to the world your glory. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, in the power of the Spirit. Amen.